Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 4. We're going to be picking up our study this morning in verse 11. A middle-aged woman had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. While on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she asked, "Am I dead?" And God said, "No. Actually, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live." And upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital, have a facelift, liposuction, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color. And since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. After her last operation, she was released from the hospital. While crossing the street on her way home, she was struck and killed by an ambulance. Arriving in front of God, she demanded, "I thought you said I had 40 years left. Why didn't you pull me out of the path of the ambulance?" God replied, "Well, I didn't recognize you." I like that. I thought that was pretty good. Last week, we looked at verses 7 to 10. As Jesus spoke to a woman at Jacob's well, and he brought her face to face with her helplessness. You know, she had to recognize that she needed a Savior, that she needed Jesus Christ. He told her that she was ignorant of the way of salvation, and that he was the one who could give it to her, and she didn't even recognize, you know, who he was that was talking to her. And you know what I love about the Lord? He assured her of the living water that was being offered to her, that was offered as a gift, that it was free, that there was nothing she would have to do to receive it other than to ask for it. And you know, that's what Jesus wants from us. He just wants us to ask. He knows what we need. He knows our desires. But man, he wants us to come before him. He's our dad. He's our heavenly Father. He knows what you're going through this morning. He knows what your needs are. He wants you to ask him so that when he answers those needs, you can glorify him. And you know, this morning as we come to verse 11 here in John chapter 4, I can't help but to notice the patience that the Lord has. How many of you ever in your Christian life prayed for patience? Anybody? How many of you after a couple weeks said, "That's it, I'm praying for patience anymore"? God begins to take you through things that just blows your mind, man. I mean, I prayed, "God, teach me patience." I've never prayed that. It's been about 20 years since I've prayed that. I go, "Lord, you know what? I'll just take it as you lead me, you know, and I'll just go from there." I prayed for patience and it seemed like someone pulled the rug out from under me. Every time I turned around, something was happening that was teaching me patience. And it's like, you know what? I can't wait. If you're like me, you want it now. I don't want to wait. God, answer now. Tell me yes or no. Don't say wait. Please, Lord, don't say wait. Well, you know what? Jesus here was ministering to this woman and just the patience that he had in order to deal with her. How many of us right now are thinking of someone we've been sharing Jesus with, and you know what? We're like running out of patience. It's like, Lord, they're just not going to get saved. You know, let them fry, you know, in hell. That's it. It's over. It's done. They're not going to listen. And you know what's interesting about it is that person cannot come to Jesus until Jesus draws him. It's not, no matter what you said, all you're doing is you're planting seed. That's all you're doing when you share the gospel. And you know, it's like the scripture says, one man plants, someone else, maybe a coworker, another friend, another family member, will water what you planted. And then the Bible says it's God who gives the increase. He's the one who draws him. You see, Jesus isn't like us. He doesn't get frustrated. He didn't turn and leave this woman to suffer the results of her own ways and stubbornness. He sits there and he deals like he did with you and I, with our stupidity. You know, he deals with us. And eventually he starts to tear down that opposition that we're fighting against God. He starts tearing it and ripping it down to where eventually what happens here, he wins this woman over to himself, and she receives him. Look at verse 11 as we pick up our text. Actually, let me drop back to verse 7 to bring us up to where we are this morning. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? I see four things here with this lady, with this woman. First, we see her continued blindness as to who Jesus is. She's totally blind, man. You know, and I can relate to that. I was blind to Jesus. I knew of him, but that's all. Second, we see her concern with material things. Her total concern, her focus, as we're going to see in our text this morning, is on the material and not the spiritual. Thirdly, notice that she's going to be focusing here on the temporary and not the eternal. You know, I've mentioned many times, how many of us, I mean, we plan for our retirement, right, guys? And what we're going to do when we retire. But how many of us plan for our eternity? When we die. I mean, I'm not guaranteed to retire. Actually, as a pastor, I'll never retire. When I retire is the day that they're, you know, sending me home, man, to the Father. There's no retirement for me. I want to keep preaching the gospel. Fourthly, we see her ignorance of the source of the living water. Totally eternal life, man, staring her in the face. You see, back in verse 9, she refers to Jesus as what? As a Jew. Well, in replying, notice what Jesus, he reproaches her for her ignorance by saying in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, man, if you only knew, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Oh, man. See, Jesus was speaking about spiritual water. But here she's interpreting his words to mean what? Literal water. Again, we see how easily people confuse the material and the spiritual. Because of her blindness, you know what? She saw nothing in Jesus that would give her a desire to want him. I was blinded. You were blinded the same way. There was nothing at a point and a stage in your life that you even wanted to do with Jesus. Unbelief prevents people today from recognizing the one who died on the cross, that he was the Son of God, and that he's the only one through whom you can have eternal life, that you can be saved by. You see, here Christ had revealed himself as the one who is the giver of what? Of the gift. What's the gift? Living water. It's a gift of God. He's offering her to ask, and what does she come up with? Sir, you have nothing to draw with. Man, it blows me away, man, how hard it is for people to see who Jesus is and the plan of salvation that is found only in him. I mean, you ever heard somebody, you ever share with somebody, and they go, hey, you know what, man? All roads lead to heaven. Not a chance, man. That's not true. There's not three ways. There's not two ways. There's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. He's the only way. He's the only one that paid the price for us. You go to his tomb in Israel, and guess what? He's not there. His bones aren't even there because he rose from the dead. Every other religion, you go and you'll find that their master's bones are still in the grave. They haven't risen from the dead, and yet people follow them. You know, to me, that's a dead religion. It's a dead religion. I want something I can put my hope and trust in and know for sure that this is the way to eternal life. You see, as we study our text, we're amazed at this woman not seeing who Jesus is. But yet at the same time, if you think about it, we were in the same condition when God in his infinite mercy began to deal with us. Our eyes is what the Bible says were closed. We were closed. We could not see spiritual things. Notice this woman says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with." We see where her mind is. We see that it's centered on the well. It's centered on where's a bucket, man? Where's a scoop or something we can pull this water out with? It's totally centered on the material. Man, she's a good picture of the sinner. Focused on material things. Wasn't that what it was all about, man? You know, don't get me wrong. God's blessed us with material things. He's given us material things that we can use and have pleasure and have fun with as long as we keep our priorities right. I have material things. But you know what? Those material things I don't let have me. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference there. If it has me, then my priorities are wrong. Because God has to be number one in my life. Everything I do has to be centered around him. See, her mind was occupied with the world. And because it was, she couldn't think of anything else. She couldn't even discern who it was that talked with her. And she couldn't even discern what he was offering. It just totally blew right over her head, man. No clue, not even a clue. But see, that's the way it is of everyone who is of the world. They're kept away from the things of Christ by the things they feel are important. I mean, we've all fallen into that at times. They're kept away from Jesus by things they feel they need right now. This is more important today. Oh yeah, Jesus cares. He doesn't mind, you know. But see, as long as your priorities are right, you can receive blessings from God. He'll bless you in and through what you do. Yeah, I've asked him many times, how many of you want God's cursings? None of us do. I want his blessings, man. I mean, I'm not greedy, but I want everything he has for me. Amen? Everything he has for us and our wives and our kids, our husbands, our families. I want the best for my family. I want the best that Jesus has to give. See, it's all part of the devil's plan to keep people away from Christ. It could be pleasure. It could be some kind of a gain. It could be reputation. It could even be family duties. Whatever it might be, the devil loves nothing better than to get your eyes off of Jesus so that he can win. So that he can win. Maybe there's something this morning that is keeping you from Christ. He knows what that is. It's keeping you from his salvation. And from receiving the blessings that he wants to give you. Guys, we all fall into this, man. I mean, there's times where I'll let things keep me, you know, from Jesus. And I got to deal with it. You know, and God continues to put on my heart, Rick, you have to deal with people the way I deal with you. If you're going to be rough with people, I'm going to be rough with you. You know, that's the way it is. If you're going to be kind with people, I'm going to be kind with you. If you're going to be gracious with people, I'm going to be gracious with you. You have to be me on the earth. You see, how many of you know all of us have a common enemy? His name's Satan. Satan is extremely, extremely subtle in the means he uses to blind the mind. Very subtle. It doesn't happen overnight. It starts working slowly through the course of days and weeks and months, maybe even years. Subtle. Notice what Jesus said in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:22. He said, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word." He hears the word of God. "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." That's what happens. I've known people who have been Christians for over 20 years that weren't even involved in ministry or anything. Incredible. Just never, you know, just not bearing any fruit. No fruit on their trees, man. You know what? God wants us to be involved. But he also wants us to have our priorities right. And this is what I believe Jesus is trying to share with this woman this morning. And you know, think of it. Here's the God of all creation that spoke the whole universe into existence, coming down and talking to an adulterous woman of Samaria. Man, that just boggles my mind. You see, that tells me if we were the only one on the face of this earth, man, church, listen to me. God would have sent his son to die for you individually if you were the only one here. That's how much he loves you this morning. Man, if we could only focus on what God has for us throughout eternity, you know what, man? We wouldn't even trip out over the things we're going through here in this life. Because one day what we're going through now is all going to be gone and we will never even remember it. Forever, throughout eternity, it's going to be gone just like that. That fast. Man, you know, I'm glad I don't know the day that God is going to require my soul. I'm glad I don't. Because, you know, I'd probably get a facelift and tummy tuck. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I don't want to know the day. I want to live each day as if he's coming for me today. And I want to be right. It keeps me right with him. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know when he's coming. I know the time is soon. I know he's coming soon for us corporately as a body of Christ. And you know what? When he comes, guess where I want to be? I want to be on the front lines, man, doing some serious damage for the kingdom of God. I want the Lord to say, well done, Rick. Man, bro, you were on fire, man. Man, winning the lost to Christ and sharing the gospel, man. I mean, man, I don't want to be on a bench somewhere. And guess what? I have an extreme great potential to bench myself. I really do. It'd be so easy. Man, I woke up this morning. I mean, point in case, case in point. Woke up this morning and I thought, oh man, who could I get to teach for me this morning? I mean, that was the first thing that went through. I don't know if it's time change or what it is, you know, but I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's just me. You ever wake up in the morning and you don't even feel saved? Anybody, or is it just me? Just me, a couple of you guys? So the rest of you guys feel saved all the time, huh? Man, it's rough. Guess what? It's a jungle out there, man. I mean, it's tough sometimes. You know, but that's when we go on what we know. You see what I'm saying? We go on what we know, what we've been studying, what God has shown us through the years. See, here this woman was wondering, you know, how she was going to get water from the well. And because of that, she wasn't even open to the things that Christ had for her. She wasn't able to discern that God's love and God's grace was reaching out to her, seeking her salvation. Didn't even have a clue with it. You know, and people get concerned with making a living for their family and with duties of the home, and rightfully so. But many times the problem is they never think of Jesus and they never think of his salvation. Well, guess what? That's where this woman is this morning in our study. Here she is walking to the well. What's on her mind is getting some water. I mean, she's just going about the daily routines of her life. Just, you know, what she does every day. You ever fall into that? I do. Just a routine. This is what I'm going to do. It's Tuesday. This is what I do on Tuesdays. But how many times do we get too busy to take time to look at or even study the things of God? You know, God is so, man, I know some of you guys here, some of you, I hear you talking about just, you know what I'm going to do, or what I do in the mornings, I just sit down and I read the Word and I just study the Word and oh, I love it. And I'm going, yes, right on, man. I just love sitting down and just studying, just getting into the Word. Because you know what happens? Everything that I'm dealing with just goes to the back room, man. And it's fresh what God's doing in my life. I love sitting down and studying. And I know many of you, that's your hearts. I know many of you, we've talked, and that's what you love doing too. And that's awesome. Just devotional time before God. You see, this woman was thinking only of her physical need. She was thinking of her physical need as her mind was centered on just what she was doing. I mean, just you know, the routine. But you see, her mind was centered on the means rather than the end. And that's, I think, where we fall into the ditch. I mean, you know, here she was more worried about something to draw with than with Christ. And this is what John is trying to bring out in our text this morning. I mean, this is a typical picture of people today. They're more concerned about their own efforts and doings than of Jesus himself. You see, by keeping the law, the Ten Commandments, there's no way that we can get or obtain this living water. There's no way that we can gain eternal salvation. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Because I know the Bible says you shall not steal, I know that if I steal, it's sin. And that's what Paul said here in Romans 3:20. Man can't do it by what is with him, in him by nature. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Paul says, for the will is present with me. I mean, I want to do this, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. I don't know, man, because I'm doing it in my flesh. You see, man can't do it by what he has or by doing his best that he can. I've heard people say that, hey, Rick, I'm just trying to do my best. And I'll say, yeah, man, but you need Jesus. You can't get to heaven. How many of you thought, you know what, I hope when I die I get to heaven that my good's going to outweigh my bad? You ever thought that? That's what I used to think growing up. I knew of God. I knew of heaven. I tried not to think of hell. And I just hope, man, when I stand before God, my good will outweigh my bad. Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is, I didn't even have strength. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It was because of what Jesus did. You see, this living water is not something that can be earned. And this is what Jesus is trying to tell this woman. It's not a prize or a crown that you can win or gain. It's a gift. It's a free gift that God gives through and in Jesus Christ. That's the hard part. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only through Jesus. Look at verse 12. Here in verse 12, she asked Jesus, she goes, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? Blows me away. This woman didn't know that she was speaking to Jacob's God. She was speaking to the one who formed Jacob in his mother's womb. I mean, you think of that and it blows you away. It was because her eyes were still closed. She couldn't see. You see, I've learned that when people start asking questions concerning the things of God, it's a pretty good sign that they need to have their eyes open because they're blind. They're asking you, man. They're starting to, you know, hey, wait, well, let me ask you about this. What about this? Well, if God's a God, how come? You know, it's a good sign that they're blind, but God's getting ready to open their eyes. Here in the case of this Samaritan woman, her questions came from what? From blindness and ignorance. But Jesus was long-suffering with her. And notice, man, I love this about the Lord. Notice that he didn't leave her until he had fully met that deep need in her soul. And from there, revealed himself. I love that. You know, in looking at this, I believe there's a deeper significance to the well here. The salvation of which the water speaks of that's in the well had been given to all the Old Testament believers. You know, well, wait a minute, Rick. You know, they didn't know about Jesus back in the Old Testament. Well, you're right, they didn't. But you know what? Salvation entered the world as soon as sin entered the world. God offered his salvation. I mean, salvation, you and I know, it's always been of what? It's been of grace. Totally of grace through faith. It's a totally apart from anything you or I could do. It's a free gift from God. You see, the gospel isn't something new. Because Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed." The gospel was preached. I mean, you want to take it all the way back, take it back to Genesis chapter 3. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, the gospel was actually preached to Adam and Eve. Where? Where was the gospel preached? Well, when they were clothed with the tunics of animal skins, after they had sinned and they took of the forbidden fruit and their eyes were opened to discern between good and evil. God made known the fact that without the shedding of blood, there's what? There's no remission for sins. And that through the death of an innocent substitute, the animals that were killed and slain so that they could be clothed with the skins of those animals, God provided a covering for the guilty and the defiled man to be able to stand in the presence of a holy God. The gospel was preached way back in Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 13. Look what Jesus says. Jesus answered and said to this woman, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Woman, if you drink from this water, I don't care if you find the bucket and you stick it down in there and pull it up, you're going to drink from it, and guess what? You're going to be here same time, same place tomorrow for some more of this water. You're going to thirst again. You know what, man? You know what Jesus was saying here? He was saying that the thirst within man lies too deep for the waters of this earth to quench. He was saying that the thirst that man has is a spiritual one. It's not a physical one. It's a spiritual thirst. And that's why, church, listen to me, man. That's why material things will not quench that thirst. It's only temporary. Oh, yeah, okay, I got this. Yeah, cool. And then after a while, it wears off. And later on, you look back and you go, "Man, why did I even buy that stupid thing? I can't use it." You know, now God's got me doing this, and I'm not even doing that anymore. Why? And you realize that it doesn't quench your thirst. You know what the Lord made me think of? Solomon. What a prime example, man. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, listen to what Solomon said. He said, "I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirror, and therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, ha 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 ha, it's madness. And of mirror, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold of folly," man. He said, "till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their life. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered much silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me." Listen to what he says. "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure." Amen. Whatever I wanted to do, I did. He said, "For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and my pleasure was my reward from all my labor. Man, I worked hard. So I pleasured hard, man. I had fun. I did whatever I wanted to do. He said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. It did not satisfy me. In other words, he says, man, there's wisdom in God's word, and we need to heed it. You know what he concluded in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in verses 13 and 14? Listen to what he says. He says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, here it is. Bottom line, I'm going to lay it on the table for you guys. Here it is. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Why? Here it is. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Everything that we do. Man, fear God and keep his commandments. You see, that's why Jesus told this woman, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Man, you can't drink of this physical water. Women, you're going to thirst again. I mean, there's an unbelievable illustration of this in Luke chapter 16. Most of you guys had read it, verses 19 to 31. It's about a man named Lazarus and a rich man. And the rich man went to hell in the center of the earth. I mean, here we have a man clothed in purple and fine linen. The scripture says, who fared sumptuously every day. I mean, the dude was dialed in, man. He had his tie on. He had his wingtip shoes. Probably had chrome spokes on his chariot, lowered. The horses were even lowered, you know? I mean, the guy had everything. You name it. AM, FM, CD player. No, he probably didn't have that, but you know what I mean? The guy was rich. He was a man that the scriptures say was filthy rich. He had more money than he knew what to do with. You know what? He drank deeply of the wells of this world, and you know what? He still thirsted. You look at that text there in Luke 16, and we actually get a glimpse of him as God lifts the veil of the unseen in hell. And we see this man as he's tormented, the Bible says, in flames, in fire. He's craving what? A single drop of water on his tongue. Here's a man that dug deeps in the wells of the world, and he quenched his thirst with everything the world had to offer. And here he is now in hell, asking for a spiritual drop of water. Just one drop. Just anything to just relieve me for a moment. Just a moment. Because I'm in this pain and torments. You know what, guys? I've studied God's word, and I can promise you one thing. There's not as much as one drop of water in hell. We read that account that Jesus spoke about 2,000 years ago, and let me tell you something. Here's the terrible and awesome thing about it. That man that we read about there is still in hell in the center of the earth. And he's been in torments for 2,000 years in fire, in molten lava. You see that lava that comes out of volcanoes? Scientists say that comes from the center of the earth. Imagine standing in that. Jesus said, where the worm dies not, you don't get consumed. You're in that fire. It's burning hot. You feel the full brunt of that flame and that heat, and you can't quench it. Now, man, it'd be different. It'd be different if after billions and trillions of years, God would let you out. But here's the awesome thing about it, man. People, listen to me. When you shut your eyes on this earth, and if you weren't right with God, that's the place where people go. And you know what, man? There's no second chance. Imagine that rich man when he opened his eyes in Sheol and Hades in the center of the earth, standing in that fire and realizing that he will never, ever, ever have another opportunity or chance. Oh, I can't even. That would be enough of a torment for me in hell, let alone the fire. is to know, hey, I'm never going to see my family, my friends. I'm never going to see God. I'm going to be totally isolated and separated in darkness and eternity in the lake of fire forever and ever. See, that's the reality of this. That's why Jesus took the patience and sat there and talked with this sinful woman, because he loved her. And he wanted her to know that no matter how much you drink of this water, you're going to thirst. Don't drink from the well of the world. You'll thirst again. Drink of the well from the water I will give you. And that's the good news here this morning, that it can only come through Jesus Christ. As he says, if you drink of the water I will give you, you'll never thirst again, man. Eternal life. I mean, there's just a joy that comes with knowing you're going to heaven. Man, I'm not going to end up no post-toasty in hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with my family members and friends. I'm going to be with my brothers and sisters that went on before me in the Lord. And man, I'm going to be there forever. You see, guys, that's what a holy, reverent fear of God in your heart is, knowing that. Knowing that there's a fine line, and around that fine line, there's a gray shaded area. One is salvation, the solid side, and the other side is hell. And between those two, there's a gray area and a fine line right in the middle somewhere. And I see so many people living in the gray area on both sides of that line. And they have a false security and a false hope that they're going to heaven. And you know what? Unless you're right with God and you're sold out for him, I wouldn't want to take the chance. I mean, look what Jesus says here in verse 14. He says, whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become, notice, in him, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Look what Jesus is saying here. Whoever drinks is speaking about ministering to a felt need. You see what it is? It's literally taking into myself that which is outside of me. That's what he's talking about here. Of the water that I shall give him. This water is what? It's eternal life. And it's received as a gift. It's free. We have to ask for it. God's not going to, you know, I've said it before, God's not going to come up to you and break your arms. I mean, some people I think he needs to do that with. It seems like they just ain't getting it. He doesn't bend your arms and break your legs and say, hey, look, I want you to go to heaven. Are you going to go or aren't you? He doesn't do that. You see, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And God will, you know, he'll let you do what you want to do. Those areas you think you're cooing and everything, that I think I'm cooing and everything, he'll let me experience, he'll let me do that, but unless I keep my eyes focused on him and keep my priorities right and have him number one in my life, guys, I'm on slippery ground, man. It's like walking on ice. You don't know when you're going to fall. That's the way it is unless you're solid with the Lord. Notice he says, we'll become in him what? A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, this gift of living water is given by grace. And because it's a grace thing, every one of us as believers here this morning have this living within us, this living water, eternal life. We all know we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. When you accepted Christ, you became sealed. Look what the woman said to him in verse 15. Blows me away again. Look where she's at, man. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Now she's asking for a drink. Why? She don't want to go to that well tomorrow. Let me drink now and I'll never have to come to this well again. That's where she was. But you know what? I caught something interesting here. Notice that this Samaritan was now willing to be indebted to a Jew for this living water. Remember what she said earlier? Hey, Jews and Samaritans don't have any dealings with each other. Notice now, I mean, even though she still had a lot of ignorance, we see her prejudice being torn down as her heart was being won over to Christ. Jesus was starting to win her over, man. And when you start being won over to God and you see the goodness and the grace of God, it breaks down all the barriers. It cuts through all the junk that we have in this world. The walls that are built up between us as peoples. Notice the next step was to reach her conscience. How did Jesus reach her conscience? By a conviction of sin. Hey, I mean, you know, when you think of salvation, you think of being delivered from something. It's something you're struggling with, something you're in the midst of. When you get saved, you're being delivered from something. Salvation implies danger. Danger of what? Danger of hell. When your eyes start to open up and you realize that no one will come to Christ as a refuge from the wrath to come until they realize what? They're guilty. Guilty of sin, man. There has to be conviction and confession of sin. It's when we realize how desperate we really are that we turn to Christ. But until then, you know what? We're going to try to work things out for ourselves. Look at verse 16. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. I thought that was interesting. Two things the Lord told her to do. The first was searching and the second was gracious. First he says what? Hey, go call your husband. That was a word that went straight to what? Her conscience. The second thing he says is, and come here. That was a word for her heart, that he was there waiting for her. I love that. The only way to prepare the soil of the heart for the seed is to plow it up with what? Conviction. It's when we're convicted that we realize that we need something. That's why Jesus told her, go get her husband. You know what he was doing here? He was forcing her to admit her sin. You see, there can be no conversion without conviction. First, there's conviction and repentance, and then comes the saving faith. Jesus had aroused her mind and stirred her emotions. But you know what? He also had to touch her conscience. That meant pulling out the carpet and dealing with the sin. Dealing with the sin. Look at verse 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, well, you know what? You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you're now living with have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Guess what? Busted. Throw him on. She got busted. Here we see the deity of Jesus Christ as he revealed his omniscience. I mean, you know, he knew all about this woman. And he had to show her that. He knew her heart. He knew her life. He knew her very thoughts. The thoughts of her mind. Nothing was hid from him. You know what, man? Look what the woman says in verse 19. You think her eyes are starting to open up? The woman said to him, sir, I perceive you might be a prophet. See, a prophet was known as one who spoke on God's behalf. She now recognizes the voice of God as her eyes begin to open up. And for the first time, she's beginning to see something. Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. There's something here. Do you remember the first time you began to see something in this religion thing, this Jesus freak thing? When your eyes started to open up and you're going, wait a minute. You know what? This is starting to make a little sense to me here. Hold on a minute. Hold on. See, this morning, the question is, have you experienced this for yourself? Man, have you seen that you're guilty? You're guilty, you're lost without Jesus Christ, and you're deserving of hell. We all deserve hell, man. Jesus made a profound statement in John 3, verse 21. He says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. He who does the truth, he who's trying to live this life of righteousness, he comes to the light. Because he's telling everybody, hey, I'm trying to live this light. I'm trying to be like this light. And he shows that his deeds are clearly seen, that they've been done in God. You see, God, this is the whole point of the text today. If you drink from this water that Jesus gives us, guys, we'll never thirst again throughout eternity, man. The well is deep. This living water, eternal life is deep. And just as the well is deep, so is eternity forever and ever. Never, ever have to thirst again. You know what? One thing that we could always use more of is a sensitive conscience. Think about that. We could. Being sensitive to others. Hebrews 5, verses 11 and 13, we read of those who were dull of hearing and couldn't receive the deeper things of God. Now, the dullness of hearing doesn't mean that they were stupid. You know, that they were just dumb. You know what it meant? It meant that they had a calloused conscience. You know what that means? It means you could do whatever you want without any conviction. There's no conviction. I'm cool. I'm okay. But notice Hebrews 5, verse 14. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is those, Christians, hear me out. Those who by reason of use, you practice, you live, you do the things that this Bible says. For those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I love that, man. You know, Ann Landers said, there are really only three types of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who say, what happened? That's true, isn't it? What happened? You know what? What happened is Jesus died for us. And you know, I know the majority, if not all of us in this room are saved. I know that. But you know what? This text, I mean, just this morning, it so ministered to me. Because you know, I want to drink from this water that I'll never thirst again. And you know what my prayer is as a pastor? That's your heart. That each one of you want to drink of this water that Jesus has offered us and given to us. So that we will never thirst again. Next week, we're going to look at verses 20 to 30 where Jesus says, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Let's pray.